We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You are either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcast feed. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. And guys, we are finally here to deliver the show that you have been waiting for since the beginning of the season. All three members of the show lost money in cash games on DraftKings.
In spectacular fashion.
In a way that if you for one second catch us defending what we did before lock, just tell us we're fucking morons. Because when I tell you what me and Nate's team pre-lock actually, I think, can be defended, what Sammy and I did cannot be defended. It is a disaster.
We knew the people knew when you like signed off on the show last week and you're like, well, guys, you know, this is just a great year for us and you guys must hate this show. We're just winning. This is the best cash year I've ever had. They knew that this week the fantasy gods were coming and they came.
I knew it was coming too. I have stopped accepting head to heads from people I know who are good, whose lineups they've sent and they're like pretty good. There are a couple guys, I'm not going to name them by name, but you know who you are. If you've been sending me games over $109 and I haven't been accepting them, it means that I've looked at your teams and I think you're probably pretty good and I don't want to lose money to you. So, but that's just,
Davis is like the local offshore sports book. He's limiting your action.
Yeah, I am. I just went full FanDuel risk management team. I just said, look, we can privatize the gains, but we got to socialize these losses. These losses have to go to the community. These were the point distributions in the Gilcast three man: 153.72 for myself and for the Whirling Dervish. Nate, you had to swap because you had dog shit. But this swap, it's so painful looking at it. You scored 122.26 points. I think your swap was bad. It's not the swap that I would have done. I told you the swap to do. You didn't listen to me, which is fine, whatever. But you did have to swap. And this is the week 15, the first time for a member of this show to have a disaster swap. Every swap we've done this year has been a win universally.
Yeah,
we have not had a disaster swap. Yeah.
I've ran so hot this year. So, I mean, this was coming. It was obviously a tilting one, though. It was literally a 39.36 negative swap for me. I did a 2v2 of Stafford and McCaffrey to Josh Allen and Tony Pollard. And Christian McCaffrey put up 44.7 points or something. So,
well, Nate, after a week
after Nate said, guys, we got to stop thinking about playing McCaffrey. They aren't forcing him the touchdowns.
They're
the way
not
they
feeding him
to.
The touchdowns.
We got an unsolicited direct message from one Mr. Adam Levitan this week, Sammy and I did, where he said, I can't believe that Nate would say that about McCaffrey. Like, it was insane. It was an insane take. But
it's so funny because Nate ended up playing McCaffrey and then ended up at the very end not having him. And lo and behold, 122 points for Nate N when the line was 160.
Yeah, three touchdowns, 5 of 5 on his targets to receptions. This is the McCaffrey ceiling game that you play him for. So, yeah, it obviously hurts. And the Allen Pollard thing went as expected.
Yeah, most run. I mean, Josh Allen, how many yards did he throw for?
Like less than 100, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. They just legit like made Dallas taste their ass. They're just like, hey, James Cook is the most dynamic player on the field.
And if you want to know, I know exactly how many yards Tony Pollard had because his line on Prize Picks and Underdog was 52.5, and he got 52.
It's classic. No. That's classic Pollard right there.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even close, and they gave him some nonsense when they were down 28 points.
Yeah, yes. I mean, he only got 2 receptions, too. I would have thought part of the reason I like Pollard is, like, I thought the game script, even if it did get out of hand, like, he's gotten so much work in the passing game these last few weeks that figured there'd be some run out there regardless. But, yeah, he only got, like, 3 targets.
Yeah, Rico Dowdle also 3 targets and 2 catches. Yeah.
All right, I entered $1,078 worth of games on DraftKings.com. I got back 734 of them.
Could be worse.
I won a 109. I also lost another 109. I didn't. I only cashed the small double ups, the $5 and $10 double ups. The cash line of the massive $50 double up was 162.82, which was just the team that I played. But with Rashee Rice instead of, well, you guys are going to find out. You guys are going to find out.
Yo, can't wait to hear this.
This was the team that Sammy and I played. Matthew Stafford at quarterback, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, and Kyren Williams at running back, Puka Nacua, Jaden Reed, Cedric goddamn Wilson at wide receiver, Tucker Kraft at tight end, and the Los Angeles Rams defense. So, why did we do this? Why? What possible reason did we think, like, okay, we're scared of playing Rashee Rice? The dude just gets 20 every week. What are we doing? What are we doing?
The Cedric, that it was just bizarre.
It was really stupid.
Hold on, I can't wait to see what Cedric was owned in the big double ups.
I'm sure he was not very owned. In the massive $50 double up, he was 7.8% owned.
Yeah, most, he was 7.3%.
Now, granted, what most people did was they had Rashid Shaheed or Demario Douglas in that slot. Those guys did nothing. That was stupid of us. But the thing that we really did was stupid was that we made not playing Rashee Rice the priority and then fit the rest of the swapping around pieces around that, because these were the cash game locks. Stafford, cash game lock. McCaffrey, cash game lock. Elliott, lock-ish. Not like stone lock, but lock-ish.
It was Jaden him or Reed. Gibson, and I thought he was way better than Gibson.
Correct. I went back and forth on that, but yeah, it was one of those two guys. Jaden Reed was a cash game lock. I thought Tucker Kraft was a cash game lock. Looks like some people played Chig. got to hand it to the people who played. No, Trey McBride.
Kraft was not a lock. Kraft is not in the same consideration as those other.
Yeah,
guys.
He was a fine play. He was
or
not
McBride,
a lock.
But these other locks were locks.
If you played Chig over Kraft, you do not know ball. Ball knowing at zero.
I think that's a fair take.
I actually thought Chig was okay. I didn't do it, but
he was okay.
I think Chig was okay.
Kraft's a baller.
I mean,
Chig is very 2022, man.
The real baller is McBride, but yeah, Kyren, Jaden Reed, Christian McCaffrey, Stafford, Zeke were locks, and then tight end, I don't think was.
Yeah, and then if you just followed the projections, you know, Rashee Rice was one of the best point per dollar plays on the slate. And I don't know what your mentally weak reasoning was, Davis, but mine was, yeah, I think Rashee played like, I don't know, like 80 something percent of the snaps last week, a season high, you know, everything's looking good. But we've seen him like spike in his usage rates before. And then the next week he's back down to 60. And also, you know, this is like back Atwood's reasoning, but, you know, there was a legitimate scenario where Casey blew out New England and like didn't need to really score. And I think that's kind of mentally weak reasoning too. If you're going to get up, you got up somehow. And, you know, Rashee Rice just ate. And
my logic was even dumber than that.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear it.
My logic was just like, I just like don't trust the Chiefs. I don't trust the Chiefs passing game. I don't trust them to concentrate targets on anyone. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it felt like, I have such a hard time with the Chiefs because I'm obviously so biased towards them, like in thinking they're, you know, all their players are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Like, there's a reason right now my teams on DraftKings and Best Ball are actually doing good, and it's because I took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the 20th round in a bunch of them, which is like, sure, good for me, but that just shows how flawed my thought process is. But then when
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, by the way, put up a legitimate Devin Singletary when he like busted it. This is the chalk. And then the next week, nobody plays him and he smashes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And McKinnon smashed too. So my logic was basically like, I didn't think Demario Douglas was a slam dunk. I thought Shaheed was like the worst play on the slate because Rashid Shaheed is just Rashid Shaheed. He's not going to play Chris Olave's position. He's not going to all of a sudden start getting targeted in the middle. You know, it's just, that was never going to happen in my
for sure. I mean, the most likely scenario, and I actually don't think it even came to pass, is that like Taysom Hill just like takes all the shit.
Yes. So that left,
I thought Rashid Shaheed is one of the few plays at that price that has a legitimate ceiling, like,
which is true.
That I agree with.
I thought Rashid and Demario were the two best. And I thought Demario was a much better floor play. Like, I thought Demario was going to get,
yes,
8 to 10 targets, you know, whatever, you know, crap targets you're going to get from Bailey Zappi. But then I thought Shaheed gave me the upside that I really liked both of them combined.
I liked Demario Douglas in a vacuum. What I really didn't like was playing Ezekiel Elliott and Demario Douglas in the same lineup and saying, oh yeah, this is like legit. I mean, one of the worst offenses in the league, maybe them and the Jets. And
we were already shipping two Rams, two Patriots. It was just like, there's a lot of bad stuff that could happen there.
And DraftKings does this, right? Like every week there's some ugly ass team that's like pops in the projections because they're so low priced. And it's like their projections are okay, but you can't just like put all of them in your lineup, 'cause then you just significantly reduce your ceiling in those lineups. So I really didn't want to do Douglas and Zeke together. And I was firmly on Zeke over Gibson. So I thought he was a lock and I was like, Gibson's or Douglas is good, but I don't want to do the both of them in the same lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously right. then you just play Cedric Wilson, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't going to play McBride, I would have played the Rashee, Jaden, Demario, Browns team. But
no, you would. Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 You would have. Yeah. I mean, that was just the optimal. That was so the aggregate optimal after everything went in was Matthew Stafford, Christian McCaffrey, Kyren Williams, Ezekiel Elliott, Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, Demario Douglas, Tucker Kraft, in the Browns defense.
Browns D. Yeah, that would have been my team if
and that team cashed easy.
Yeah, if I didn't love McBride as much as I did, but I thought McBride was legit 10 points above, like had potential to separate meaningfully at his position. And yeah, I mean, obviously Kraft got there on like four targets, but like McBride is legit this whole offense. I mean, he's priced at a spot where it's like he would far surpass any wide receiver getting that volume. Any wide receiver getting his volume is priced at six or seven K.
Yeah. I mean, so, good point. He is legit their number one receiver. I mean, yeah. it's not hyperbole. They put up 29 points in this game. Kyler Murray completed 26 passes and
10 of them, I mean, were completed to Trey McBride.
Yeah, exactly. Like Michael Wilson, airball. Hollywood Brown, airball. Greg Dortch, two catches. Like Rondell Moore, two catches for 5 yards. The entire thing is Trey McBride. He had 11 targets. The next closest guy had four. I mean, and you watch the games and you're like, dude, he's really good. I mean, great body awesome. Control, great hands. He's a load in the open field. It's like, dude, this guy's not a joke. Like, he's really good.
And that's where I legit was like, I thought Kraft and Okonkwo were fine for their price. But then I thought like the amount of separation I would get by going to McBride was going to be so worth it. And yeah, I don't know if that was wrong. Obviously my swap was wrong.
Nate, I think the thing that you did that was stupid, relatively speaking, was the Shaheed play. Shaheed just was not a cash play. I can't see it. He just was never going to get, enough target volume in this spot against this crappy Giants team. Like I actually, you know what? I might've misspoke. Shaheed might've ended up in the aggregate optimals in the end. The team obviously that I feel bad that I didn't end up clicking submit on, Sammy, was our team with DeMarcus Robinson over Cedric Wilson and the Jets defense.
Yeah.
You know what my logic was for not clicking submit on that?
You didn't want it, too many Rams?
I don't want four Rams.
Yeah.
I don't want four Rams.
Well, I mean, really what we did wrong, I mean, Cedric Wilson was just an all-time fish play.
All-time fish play.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where I texted you guys and I was like, Cedric Wilson is drawing stone dead to score a single point. And when he ended up with two receptions, I was like, holy shit, we ran so good. But what our real fish move was paying $1,200 more for Puka Nacua than, I mean, I was talking to Davis, Nate, before you got here. And I said the play, like, why did we not consider just playing Jalen Waddle? And I realized he would have cost us, like, he was a couple hundred more than Nacua, so it would have actually required some.
The real reason is, weather and total. Like, that game was supposed to have terrible weather. The total was only 36.5.
Yeah, but, like,
looking back, yes, Waddle would have been great. If someone rolled out Waddle versus me in cash, though, I would probably take that person's action the following week. I don't think Waddle would have been a good play in cash. At his price, where he was sitting, the rest of the stuff you would have had to do construction-wise.
I don't know, man. There, maybe I'm being results-oriented because he had like 100 and a touch at halftime, but it's just like, man, like, how does he in this spot with Tyreek out?
You definitely are being results-oriented because he almost died like the first play of the game. He went to the medical tent two plays into the game.
And
like,
what does that have to do with anything? And he was 1% owned in the $25 double. I mean, yeah, it worked. But like, if you play 1% owned high priced wide receivers regularly in cash, like, you're probably going to be a losing player.
Well, I'm just trying to wish cast any way to get off the lineup that I actually played. I can't believe we played Puka fucking Nacua.
Stuck on him too. And it was interesting. I mean, obviously Puka's been great, but you guys were.
It was a combination of being stuck on the Rams, like the Rams having the second highest team total of the slate against this total, you know, cheese dick defense. I mean, the Commanders defense is awful.
Like, it's legit. It's probably the single best team to play offensive players against right now.
Yeah. Like, if they could have moved the ball, if the Commanders could have moved the ball at all before the fourth quarter, the Rams could have scored 45. Like, they just, they were just dicking around. And Kyren kept fumbling too. Kyren fumbled
Kyren
twice.
Had two huge fumbles. Yeah.
And they kept, they put it, I thought after the second one, like, for sure, this dude's going on ice. And like, nope, he just came out there the next drive. Which
they,
is like,
they love him, bro. He can do no wrong. He walks on water. I mean, it would have been really cool if Puka Nacua was the one who got the busted coverage instead of Cooper Kupp. You know, it just like 60-yard touchdown,
you know,
but like,
I mean, while we're owning ourselves, I mean, we could have just played the Patriots defense and Cooper Kupp instead of the Rams defense. And
no, I'm not. I'm not paying extra for Cooper Kupp over Nacua right now. I did that one time and it was foolish.
Let's get off of wide receivers, because wide receivers was the crappiest part of this slate. Okay, so at quarterback, there were, I mean, some people played Allen and Cash other than swaps. I obviously got there because of a swap, but I thought really it was like Stafford or, I mean, some people played Sam Howell. I don't know if I would have, but
I fooled around with trying to get up to Purdy and he didn't project. Like, Stafford was clearly a better value in the projections. But the thing you have to realize is, like, if you know ball, like, Purdy, like, just does it every week. And there's no way that he ever fails. And yet again, you know, he throws four touchdowns. Easy game.
Did you guys consider Allen at all?
No. Not even
once. The only two guys I considered were Howell and Stafford.
I would have played Flacco. I would have gone back to Flacco. He threw for 374 too. Should have just done that.
It's just what he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the non-negotiable plays of the slate were Stafford, McCaffrey, Kyren, Reed. And then I toyed with Gibson. I toyed with DeMarcus Robinson, with Shaheed, with Jets defense, with Patriots defense. I actually thought the Rams defense, like, once I found that combination, I was like, oh, that's sharp as hell. You know,
yeah,
facing 45 throws from Howell, but he didn't eat the sacks. They were just punting.
Sack Howell is no longer.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of stopped eating them super hard in like week 6 or 7 is the thing, but like,
but there's still a lot of upside, even though he's not taking those sacks. Anytime you can get a defense versus a team that projects to throw that much, like, you're in a good spot. And with
completely
the Jets, like, I don't know if you could have, the overall play volume in that game didn't have the upside. So I actually did really feel good about the Rams indeed. And then the Browns was the other team that I wanted to get up to. But even that game, like, overall, that could have been a game where there just wasn't enough play volume for the defense to be a great play. So
I didn't like the Browns defense play that people made. I think Fields is playing well enough and not with enough passing volume that it doesn't make a ton of sense to play defenses against him right now. I mean, like, whatever. Obviously that team beat mine, and I'm saying this from a position of coping, but the team that people played, the most duped team, the optimal team, I mean, whatever, I gotta eat it. But I didn't like that team that much. Forward lock. Wish I had it now.
I mean,
what's
for
Rashi,
Christ.
What's Rashi Rice going to be next week? Like 6,800. He's going to be in the optimal.
Probably.
Yeah, he's going to be in the optimal again. I probably won't click him. Who do the Chiefs play next week?
But honestly, like watching that game, like, he's
their only good wide
guy.
Receiver.
He's their only
the
good
thing.
Wide receiver.
I know.
He's the only one.
Kelsey used to be the guy that Mahomes only had eyes for, but now they're like legit. Rice is like separating and taking some of that.
Dude,
so,
Kelsey's dust. Kelsey's
I didn't
dust.
Want to go that far because Kelsey was going to dunk in my face if I say that next week.
No, but he's dust, and it's okay. He's like 34 years old. Like, he had a great run. I mean, good for you, man. But like, there is literally only one offensive player on
the Chiefs
who's worth a
the
shit.
The Chiefs next week play Monday at noon against the Las Vegas Raiders, a team that just scored 63 points. Damn.
All right.
Kelsey on Christmas, dude. All our wives sitting there asking how Taylor's boyfriend's doing. He hurt his arm today. We might get Rashi Rice at 68% owned on a 3-game slate next Monday because Kelsey's out.
Did you guys play the Saturday slate, by the way?
Just tournaments, but yes.
Yeah. I didn't. I put in no volume. I was busy. Yeah, but I figured like, you degenerates probably did.
I played like 200 teams. I went super overweight, Justin Jefferson, and Jordan Addison was the guy you needed. So
Ty Chandler was the guy you needed.
GG's.
But I did jam Ty Chandler, but whatever. Okay, let's close this out. We played bad.
This was a terrible slate.
Nate, I mean, talk about your dipshit swap where you didn't swap to the 49ers, even though it's been a cheat code all year.
You could have just...
Here's the reason I didn't swap to Debo. Because honestly, like, when you look at the Debo volume, it's so freaking scary to swap on that in cash games. He literally gets four receptions
in a
game.
Holy shit, Nate. Do you watch the games at all?
Yes, I watch the games, but I'm all...
the point.
I am not going to swap off of Christian McCaffrey onto Debo and move off of like the Christian McCaffrey to Debo volume is so
Tony Pollard like, instead of Debo.
It's because Tony Pollard legit has like narratives where he's going to get that volume. Like if I'm going to swap off CMC, I'm not going to do it for a guy who might
see
four.
You were staring down a 30% owned tight end who got 17 while looking
my tight end
at
was
in your
put
lineup.
Up 20.
Rashid Shaheed with 6 points, DeMario Douglas with 6 points, Ezekiel Elliott with 9 points, and you were like, you know what? I can't possibly get two Debo touchdowns on 8 touches.
You are a stone lunatic, Nate. Like, Debo is direct leverage on CMC. They clearly give him high-value touches. They throw deep bombs to him. I mean, what are you
Debo
doing?
Debo's not someone I'm going to ride with in cash when I'm getting off CMC for him. Like,
bro,
we talked about this.
Yeah, we literally talked about this.
The swap to Debo is like all you've had to do for the last month in cash games. If you're not doing good in the morning, swap to Debo in the afternoon. Print money, easy game. Like it's all laid out there for you.
Sorry, I wasn't gonna do it. Maybe CD.
Okay, maybe tell me this. Tell me this. Did Purdy, Kittle, Debo fit with what you had left?
Probably. I was not gonna get off of McBride for Kittle.
Oh, Nate!
Jesus Christ! Nate, we're in week 15 of the fantasy season. Is it time for you to take an L?
You got to take an L, dude.
Can we do it?
It's just the last two people left on Earth who were like, dude, man versus zone, Ayuk. It's going to be just Peter Overzet and Nate being like, Debo can't keep getting away with it.
Okay, it's not even like I was an Ayuk guy. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to swap off of CMC. Potentially maybe onto CD or someone like Pollard who has an ability to see similar volume, but like Debo just wouldn't get that volume. And Kittle instead of McBride is a terrible swap in cash. Like I'm moving off of legitimate volume for hoping on efficiency and the ownership that I'm already getting.
What do you mean hoping on efficiency, bro? This team over the last like 5 years has shown
that it is the Death Star.
They are efficient. Like, by definition, by nature, this team is going to be more efficient than the average bear. Like, you know this.
Dude, Debo got, like, 7 touches. I'm not going to swear.
And he smashed because he's Debo's. Well, sorry,
Nate,
folks.
Nate, you are already swapping off of the median outcome when you are moving away from the McCaffrey team. The median outcome of things is bad for you. If the game goes according to its median projection, you will lose.
Pollard and Allen have a legitimate median outcome and not just a 1% ceiling outcome that actually works.
How can you say it's 1% when it has happened every game 5 weeks in a row? Debo has like 9 touchdowns the last month. It's not a one, maybe it's top 20th percentile, but it's not top 1%.
Yeah, it even goes along with your thesis that they're not feeding McCaffrey touchdowns anymore. That's a mentally weak swap. Well, folks, it's week 15.
Debo legit had 5 touches.
No, like, no L's taken by Nate Noling. The streak
Debo legit
on.
Had 5 touches. I am like,
stay strong, Nate. You're almost there. You're almost at the finish line. Almost have the undefeated season going.
Guys, okay, let's do tournament teams. I'm gonna do. I played so bad in tournaments today. Like this is like some incredible shit. I'm actually gonna do my worst team because it's so bad that it's kind of funny.
I'll do it too. I'll do my worst team.
This was the team in the big red zone. No, this was the smaller red zone, I think, the 25K to first one. Actually, shout out Scott Barrett. Scott Barrett won this with a sick team. 209 points, Stafford, McCaffrey, Kyren, D-Rob, Waddle, Shahid, Kraft, Cook, Bills defense. Very sick team from Scott.
He played Waddle. Sharp. We did have
two overlapping players in this lineup I'm about to read, but this team scored 87 points. So think about that. I overlapped two players with the winning team. 87 points. That'll give you an idea of how many points the other guys scored.
Man, you're only a 7v7 away.
Dude, I was right there, brother. Okay. So every team that I did this week was either a stack of Purdy or a stack of the Washington Los Angeles game. So with Howell or with Stafford, I included a minimum of one player from Rams Washington on every team I made. And I included a minimum of one 49er on every team I made. This team, Sam Howell, Antonio Gibson, Jahan Dotson was the stack I had with him. Who did I pair Antonio Gibson with in the backfield? One Mr. 1.4 points, Bijan Robinson. 1.4 points from Bijan Robinson. You know, it's in the rain. They're going to be running. Arthur Smith's been feeding him. 1.4 points. I did play Brandon Ayuk instead of Debo on this team. I tried to extend an olive branch over the aisle. You know, I'm team Debo, but I extended an olive branch over to the Ayuk people. I was rewarded with 6.7 points because Debo Samuel is way better than Brandon Ayuk. I played DeMarcus Robinson on this team, 14.7 points. I also played George Kittle on this team, 5.3% owned. Kittle was my gold star play of the day. He got 7 points. He didn't do shit. Kyren Williams with 52% ownership and 30 points on the Panthers defense at 4% owned for 8 points. None of the other teams I did were any better than this, you know, because it was all like, okay, what the team I played in the red zone? Just had more dog shit. Bijan, Antonio Gibson, Jets defense, stuff like that. The team I played in the spy, maybe the funniest, 2% owned Devon Achane. Just like, what am I doing, dude? This was awful.
It's weird how Achane, when he's not averaging 12 yards a carry, is not actually smashing at 7.2K.
Yeah. I just think when you see efficiency that's outlier like that, you should assume it's going to continue for the rest of time. I mean, I don't think efficiency will ever regress.
Swaps to a team that scores 120 points and finds a way to fucking talk down to me. Unbelievable shit from Nate Noling. Unbelievable. Yeah. Not a good fantasy week for me. Looks like I'm going to lose a bunch of teams on Underdog because of the aforementioned 9 points from Devon Achane. And I just was looking before we started. My two most owned players in the knockout rounds on Underdog were Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, who combined for like, 15 total points between the two of them or something. Like, unbelievable. So I'm in a crabby mood. Sammy, what do you got?
Well, Davis, I feel the people have been robbed of like your younger years when you would tilt and throw your phone against the wall and stuff. Yeah, you had your worst fantasy week of the year. And, you know, you're kind of sanguine about it. You know, you're just accepting it. Hate to see that.
I mean, you know, it'll be fine. I just want to have, if I get one team through to the finals on Underdog or DraftKings, that's really all I want. I would like to have one week 17 final sweat. That's really all I ask for. Mm.
All right. Well, I'm going to do my worst team as well. This one was also in the red zone. This team is such a hot stinking ass. I did a Stafford double stack. Oh wait, this is the wrong team. I played McCaffrey on this team. Here we go. The red zone. I played a Stafford double stack with Puka Nacua and DeMarcus Robinson.
What was Puka owned in this stuff?
Great question. No, I'm sorry. This was the spy.
This was like 20% owned in most of them.
Okay, I'm looking at my team in the spy. Yeah, he was 22% in the spy.
Yeah. So I played them, and then I brought it back with Antonio Gibson. So I played him instead of Zeke in this lineup. I also played one Mr. Bijan Robinson in this lineup. I can see very clearly that he got 1.4 points. I mean, Jesus Christ. How many times Arthur Smith, like, you know, I mean, Tyler Algier got two carries before he got a carry. CPAT got a receiving touchdown. I mean, it's just like, what are we doing here? They lost to Carolina.
Lost to Carolina.
Dude, they just need to fire him and redeem Bijan's dynasty.
No, dude, his daddy is gonna buy the team. Arthur Smith's daddy is gonna buy the team so he can keep coaching. I'm telling you, just wait.
Yeah. I also played my gold star stack of the week, which was the big dog in December.
Oh, man.
Against Houston, paired with the Titans DST. The Titans DST did their part by scoring 13 points. But Derrick Henry rushed for, I'm looking it up now, 9 yards.
On like 7 attempts.
And he scored 5 DraftKings points. Not great. I played Garrett Wilson. Because, you know, Alpha Garrett Wilson, now that he's out of the monsoon, you know, he scored 5.9. The only redeeming quality, the only reason this team scored more than Davis's team is that I played David Njoku and his 29.4 points at tight end at 11.5. I only had one player. I mean, this team is so bad, and I literally only had one player in single-digit ownership, and that was the Titans DST. Yeah, it's just really, really bad and sad team. It just cracked 100 points.
And the thing was, is I felt like I was so locked in too. I was like, clearly you just do pass catchers from Washington and Los Angeles. And clearly you just have two 49ers or at least one 49er on every team, you know, like that's just so clear. And like, you can see from the teams that won, these were not unique teams. These were huge chalk, like McCaffrey, Robinson, Reed, Njoku, Kyren, like big chalk was involved on those teams. Yeah.
I literally
checked my shit with the Sims today. The issue was, is I played Gibson and Elliott too much. I played one of Gibson or Elliott on every team and they were just dust.
Yeah. I thought Gibson was just a good way to bring it back the Rams stack. Like what I wanted to do is create, and I did this in the red zone as well, but I played McCaffrey there. Is I just played Rams stacks, like Rams double stacks with Nakua and DeMarcus Robinson. And then I didn't play Kyren. I was like, okay, if Kyren fails here, because Kyren will be mega chalk. And it's like, dude, frankly, he was just one of those plays that was kind of too good to fade. You know what I mean?
And I think the Sims would tell you that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sims were all McCaffrey, Kyren, and Zeke because they were so much better than the rest.
All my top teams were Stafford with one of his pass catchers, and Kyren was like far and away Kyren and McCaffrey were like far and away the top guys most likely to be in the optimal. And what's funny is my Sims hated Gibson. Gibson was like the stone worst. Like when I ran 10,000 iterations or whatever, it was like it had Gibson. Like is like the ninth most utilized running back.
Yeah, because he just never gets the bonus in any scenario. He rarely scores in any scenario. He ended up getting 4 carries for 15 yards. Like obviously Zeke is old and dusty and didn't really do much in cash and only outscored him by a point. But I just thought like if you played Gibson over Zeke in cash, it was just pretty bad. Like Zeke's at least.
Yeah, I mean obviously.
I didn't expect
Chris Rodriguez to get as much work. I thought Gibson was going to get more, but Gibson was wish casting where with Zeke, you knew the floor and the
passing. I thought Rodriguez would play, but the third guy entering the rotation, Jonathan Williams playing, I did not anticipate any of that.
Jonathan Williams Rodriguez was the one who took all the work. Rodriguez was out there like
Williams played like 20% of the snaps.
Gibson.
He's a better play, obviously. All right, Nate.
Yeah, I.
Let's get those Josh Allen double stacks. Let's hear them.
No, I actually didn't do any Allen doubles. Probably should have. Did a Howell double. With McLaurin and Dotson with a Kyren bringback. I just thought Kyren was. I mean, all of my tournament teams had Kyren and CMC. This one faded Zeke, but So it was Howell, McCaffrey.
That's smart. At least you put a stack in where the receiver has to have the quarterback get benched to succeed.
Yeah. That's what I was playing for. I wanted, you know, Howell to get there for the first three quarters and just put up 9 points, but throw some interceptions to give Kyren a bunch of work. And then I was planning on him getting benched and just letting McLaurin and Dotson get there. But man, I couldn't believe it when he got benched. McLaurin literally, I think, had like one catch before that and ended up with 29 DraftKings points in like a minute and a half.
Insane. Insanity.
And then I had Jaden Reed, and then I had Cedric Wilson Jr., Trey McBride, and Browns D.
Ooh, Cedric Wilson. Nice play, Nate.
Yeah, love that.
So I felt really good about I mean, the Howell doubles were so low owned. So many people were on the Stafford side of that, and I just felt really good about that. I had a couple Stafford doubles as well.
I did too.
I had a Love double I felt really good about.
Feels so bad in retrospect because Stafford just never gets there on his own. Like Stafford, like it's like somehow like the math doesn't line up. Like
I know, that's why
everyone smashes and Stafford goes for 245 and two every time.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense, but somehow that's how it works. Like Stafford cannot top 24 points in any scenario and the Rams score like 9 touchdowns on offense.
Meanwhile, Brock Purdy, like McCaffrey scores mass touchdowns and Purdy still scores 4 touchdowns every week. Like how does that work? I don't know.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah. But
rough day.
Some min caches to buoy the ships a little bit since the cash games were not great.
Yeah, well, tough scene on the Tony Pollard prize picks props, man. Sorry to hear about it.
Oh man. And Jerick McKinnon got 11 rushing yards on an 11.5 line, which really hurt.
should have just taken CEH, the over on 0.5 back of the end zone, high point touchdown receptions by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was a lock.
That was something unexpected. I'll tell you that.
Oh, well,
today guys, sucked, man.
It was really bad. And week 15 is always bad if you're a best ball sicko, because you are just like you go into the week with such high expectations, like I'm gonna advance all these teams in the semifinals, I'm gonna be drawing, and then you just, you know, it's 1 of 16 in these pods on DraftKings and Underdog. It might be 1 of 12 on DraftKings.
It's one of 13.
But Tyreek sits and Puka doesn't get there, and
Sam Howell craps the bed. Chase. I had Chase in a bunch of teams that did nothing. I was like dead before today started.
See, I was like, I had a bunch of Ty Chandler. I had a bunch of Devontae Adams. Like I was, I actually think I'm doing all right on DK because round 20 Clyde Edwards-Helaire, unironically is like saving my season. But yeah, it's just week 15 is always, it's always pretty. And for like FFPC stuff, you're like, oh, my team's doing pretty good. I scored a bunch. And then you look at the leaderboard and you're like, I'm 180 points behind $1 million. Like it's not happening this year either. Just, you know, when you lose the ability, like you lose the expectation of even being live for $1 million, it's just a little bit of a downer. And then,
yeah, because you spend all summer just like, this could be the Millie team. This could be the Millie team. And yeah, big dust.
Correct. Yeah. It's brutal. Yeah, we'll be back next week. Hopefully we will all be in better spirits. You know, week 16, maybe the Nate takes an L week. Maybe Nate will finally, it's just like, Debo will have 6 touchdowns on 9 touches next week. And Nate will just be like, nah, dude, you guys don't understand. Tony Pollard's way more valuable than this guy.
I have to tune in and find out.
We will be back next week. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. See you then.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.